Father, we are so excited, God, for what you are doing in our lives. And if we're not, Father, I pray that you would bridge that excitement. Father, you would show us the things that you are doing. Show us and lead us, God, through direction and through examples. God, we can see your hand and we can see what you are doing, God, so that we can get excited for what you are doing. These plans and these purposes that you have for your kingdom and your people, God, are earth-shattering. They are groundbreaking. They are changing and shifting the atmospheres and the landscapes around us, God. We can just say goodbye to what we think is normal, because you are going to be cracking open and doing the impossible before our eyes. And so, Father, I'm rejoicing because I see and I know what you are about to do. And Father, I pray that your will be done in our lives, here on earth as it is in heaven, God. And I pray that your word would be fulfilled and that, Father, it would have its perfect purpose in our lives. We release you, Holy Spirit. Do what you do. And Father, have your perfect way today in your word, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I don't know. She's supposed to be out here. She's here. No, she's probably just helping out. I think Holly's back there today. But any case, regardless, she should be out here soon. Don't worry. My beautiful bride is here. So we're continuing on a slight continuation. I wouldn't say it's series. It's not a series. It's just we're moving. We're continuing forward in this direction. But we left off last week with this discussion on seasons and the importance of seasons. And what can anybody remember or say anything about that before we move on? Seasons are not convenient. They're not, exactly. Seasons are also not like winter, summer, spring, fall, right? Right? We learned that also. We also learned that, and this is really probably the biggest part, that one verse that talks about how we can expect that God, who is sovereign and mighty and the authority of all things, can change the seasons whenever he wants. So the ultimate rule of understanding seasons is understanding something very provincial. What is that? We need to be where? We need to be wherever he wants us to be, but we need to be close to him. Right? We need to be close to God, because everything that we need and pertaining to the kingdom and life as it is in Christ requires us to be very close to God. And we have been given a beautiful gift to do so with, and that gift is who? Not just Jesus. Holy Spirit. Very good. Right? Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is our helper. Amen? And he is here to help us. So we're springboarding off of that, and we're moving right in to now the kingdom being preached. Amen? This is where we are going, and this is the full head of steam that I hope we walk out of here today with. I hope, and my prayer is that we become so empowered and so overwhelmingly just filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with Jesus that we want to like just bulldoze every obstacle, every wall, everything that we see that is preventing us from doing what God has commanded us to do, which is to do what? Go and make disciples and preach the word and heal the sick, win the lost. This is our job. Amen? This is what we have been commanded to do. We have a job. We have a purpose. It is not just maintenance on yourself until God comes and says, okay, time to go home. All right? That's not the job. That's not what we're here for. Okay? So with that, we can understand that the church, of whom we are all here part of, has a very significant role in the advancement of God's kingdom. Amen? We are integral. As the heart and mind of Christ, we represent Jesus to a broken and sinful world, or at least we should. We as believers are to preach Christ and to preach his coming kingdom. And I mean both. What do I mean? What's the difference? Aren't they the same? No, they are not. Preaching Christ is preaching what? Salvation. right? You're preaching salvation. Amen? Preaching the kingdom is preaching that he is Lord. So we don't preach that Jesus is just your savior. We preach that he is both savior and Lord. But if you just preach that Jesus saves, but you don't preach the kingdom, guess what they'll never learn? They'll never learn how he is Lord. They will not understand that they now serve a mighty God who is a king of a kingdom of which they now live in. You are no longer a person of this world. You are now an alien here. Amen? So watch out for ICE, because he might come and get you too. Because you are aliens here. But we're legal aliens. Amen? We're allowed to be here. Okay? Christ and his salvation and his kingdom to which our Lord reigns over us. But today we don't hear either of these preached. This is facts. People don't preach salvation. People don't preach Christ. They preach church. That's what you need. You need to come to church. There's a prerequisite to that. We just assume a lot. We assume that people know Jesus. We assume people have a relationship with God, and therefore all of these assumptions are made. And so the missing factor is, well, you're not coming to church. You're not going to church. You need to go to church. That's not preaching Christ. That is not preaching the kingdom. What's wrong? The people of God now are more concerned with their personal lives and how they line up to God's plans rather than the people they don't even know and that are not knowing him. We have become so focused, I believe the old word was we are navel-gazing, right? Remember that? You're looking at your belly button. You're worried about you more than anybody else. Why are we so concerned about ourselves? Well, the reason we're so concerned about ourselves is because we are now living in a world that is far more wicked, far more crazy, far more vile, and we've allowed it to happen. To be clear, the mess around us is created because of we not being where we need to be, us not standing up for the things we need to stand up for. We didn't stand up for righteousness. We didn't stand up for truth. We didn't stand up for these things, and we let these walls fall, and now we have the mess around us. And so now what we're doing is we're playing a lot of maintenance strategies on ourselves to prevent any of this stuff from affecting us. Instead of cleaning up the messes that you've made. An inward focus for an outward mission accomplishes nothing. I want you to write that down somewhere. Anywhere you want to write it down. But write it down. An inward focus for an outward mission accomplishes nothing. And this has been what the enemy has been trying to do to keep us from not going and winning the lost, for going and preaching the kingdom, for going and seeing souls won into the kingdom, lives that are captive set free. This is the crucial movement that God is bringing to our doorstep yet again. But now, here's the catch. The cool part about this is now a runaway train. It's already in motion. Things are happening around you and happening fast. And if you're not aware, I just ask you, put your ear to the beat. Listen and see. Look around you, right? We're supposed to be observant, right? Look around. See what's going on around you. See what's happening in the world. See what's happening in foreign nations. See what's happening across this planet. And you will notice that there are shifts and changes that are happening at such a rapid pace. And I'm not talking about political things. I'm talking about spiritual things. They look political in some cases. Yes, this is true. But it's a spiritual war that is being waged. Amen? And sometimes you gotta look at it and go, yeah, guess what? God used a donkey. So guess what? God will use all sorts of people and all sorts of things to make things happen. He is mission based and he is doing things now at a pace because what do you think the problem is? The world is growing darker and darker. And these things are supposed to happen because at a point, guess who is going to come back? Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready. Amen? Which is why we talked about last week, seasons. which is where we're going to start today and picking up from that point in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. It should be there behind me, but I'll give you some moments to get to that scripture in your Bibles. Amen? Okay? Starting at verse 1, it says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound familiar? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will reap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, I will point this out very much in the very forefront. I'm not ignorant. I know what Timothy's about. It's a pastor book. I get it. I'm very much aware of him being a pastor, being trained. I'm very much aware that this is training material. I get it. And you're probably all looking at me going, yeah, pastor, that one's for you. Guess what, future pastors of America? It's also for you. Because what we have determined is that preaching is what I'm doing here today. Nope. Incorrect. I am giving you God's word. It is not a sermon. This is not preaching. But what it is knowing how to convince, rebuke, and exhort properly. And that's what this is all about. However, to preach means something different. 1828, to preach means to proclaim or pronounce a public discourse, a public discussion of spiritual or religious subjects. I don't think that you need to have a doctorate in order to do that, do you? I don't think you need 27 letters after your last name to do that. Heck, I don't think you need a single letter after your last name to do that. I have two, but they're just junior. And that's only because I share the exact same name of my father. Not a qualifier. To preach the word requires some simple things, but what it does not require is a level of intelligentsia that you need to meet some kind of standard of requirements, because the world says, hey, by the way, that's what you need in order to do this. I don't go according to the rules of the world. I'm not a part of their ruling body. I serve God and His kingdom. He is the one who gives me the authority. He is the one who is in control. Amen? This isn't a me show. It's His show. And here's the other thing that I think pauses our steps and we don't go anywhere with this, is because we feel like we also need to have all of the answers. I need to know how to respond when somebody asks me a specific question, right? Wrong. You don't. You want to know why? Because you'll never know all the answers. And if you're waiting to know all the answers, guess what you're going to be waiting for? A very long time. Do you see this is actually what has been going on? This is what's reality right now. The people of God are so busy worrying about how they know, getting their degrees, getting their doctorates, learning more, knowledge and knowledge on knowledge on knowledge, so that they have all this knowledge, and knowledge does nothing in accomplishing the goals of the kingdom. It does nothing. I do not need to know a bunch of stuff in the Bible and a bunch of school teacher doctrinal reports and research material to know how to love you as a human being. I don't. Do you know how easy it is to love somebody? How easy is it? Does anybody know? Guess what you got to do first? No. You need to not care about you more than them. See, I'm not talking about just hugs and greeting. I'm talking about when you're down and you need to really know the love of somebody, guess what they do? They pick you up and they help regardless of what it is. They don't care about your skin color. They don't care about your previous affairs. They don't care about what's going on around you. They see a need and they meet a need. Did you need to know 1,000 questions answered on an exam to do that? Nope. You just love them. But there are some requirements. I'm going to let you know. There are actually requirements. So let's clear the air. Pastor, what are those requirements? Oh, I'm so glad you guys asked. Good question. You need to be saved first. If you don't know the Lord, how can you tell anybody else about the Lord? You need to actually have salvation. You need to have the Lord. Amen? You also need to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you consistently live a life of sin and you want to put yourself in an island in a case where it's Jesus constantly repentance, constantly Jesus constantly repentance, and you've pushed the Holy Spirit out of your life, guess what you are not going to be able to effectively do for the kingdom? I cannot go and help somebody else when I have shunned the helper. Because it is not coming from me, the help. I am not the one who helps you. He is the one who helps you. So I have to be open to the helper in order to give help. It's the only way it works. So you have to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And third, and this is the part that nobody likes, but it's the truth. You have to be able to endure hardship. You have to be able to endure hardship. You have to be able to endure hostility. You have to be able to endure people saying to your face, I don't like you. Get out of my face. I think you are a liar and a deceiver. I think you're a horrible person. I think you're a clan member. I think you're whatever. Fill in the blanks. You need to be able to endure that. Endurance is not retaliation. Endurance is turning the other cheek. But we don't like doing that either. And this is the reason why endurance is so important, because we quit too quickly. We give up so easily when we get hit with a little bit of a scuffle or an attack. And the reason I believe that happens is because we have officially lost sight of why we are here, why Jesus came, why he died on the cross. What is the purpose of Jesus manifested in your heart, in your life? Why did he do what he did? I want to clarify some things. Do you all understand that Jesus is God Almighty? Okay, do you understand that he could defy every physic, everything that we know in existence in this world? He could break every rule. Amen? He can break them all. So he could live on this earth forever. He didn't have to die. He could have just kept defying death over and over and over and over again. Would his deity been fulfilled by doing so? Absolutely. Would we have known he is God in the flesh? Absolutely. And he could still be here today. But you know what he couldn't do? He couldn't reach the world so easily. Because it still would have to go through the channels. Could he stop time? He could. He could move and teleport and swing and do all kinds of cool, you know, fantasal, you know, things. You could do whatever fantasy things you want to believe. He can do it all. But the thing that's awesome is that he recognized that the mission of how we as a people would come together as one isn't because we each have a personal one-time interaction with Christ. It is because he transcends generations and time and space through each and every one of us, that we carry Christ in every area and every walk of our life. And that therefore means that every interaction, every time you talk to somebody, every time you open your mouth, every person you encounter, you are in the presence of Christ Almighty, and that Christ in you is in the presence of them. We have that in us. We have that purpose in us. There is no other reason. He did this not just so that he could conquer sin and death, because he did do it for that reason. Amen? Because that is the main reason he went to the cross. That is the main reason he died. But the fact that he now lives in each and every one of us is because through this process, we now are able to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ and preach the kingdom that he started preaching millennia ago, that it continues through him in each and every one of us. But instead, what we encounter now and today is a bunch of defeated believers in Jesus Christ who don't have the gusto to stand up for not only what they believe in, but to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ or the kingdom. We're shut-ins. We get discouraged when people shut us down, or the levels of hatred that get thrown out at us because they don't like what we believe in or what we stand for. And in that responsive, guess what we do? We become defensive. We become argumentative. We try to use logic and reasoning to make points and to score tally marks as though this works. Has it worked yet? Is it going to work tomorrow? Guess what? It never works. What we have lost and what we don't understand anymore is that these things are the realities of this world that we live in. We don't even notice or recognize how much of the world we have adopted and brought in to the house of God and said, this is how the kingdom should work. Think about that. We, us, have taken the ways of the world, brought them into God's house and kingdom and said, here's how your house should operate, God. This is the only way they'll ever understand. They don't understand peace. They don't understand grace and mercy. They don't understand your love and your kindness. They only understand hostility and violence. So guess what we need to operate in too? But this is not, I'm being honest, church. Are we or are we not doing that? It's what's going on. It's what is going on. And I hate to say this, but you don't realize that when you enlisted into the army of God, you enlisted also to be persecuted. He told you it's going to happen. You knew ahead of time. It's not like he hid it from you. It wasn't like the small text at the bottom of the contract. It was probably the first part in bold. By the way, when you accept me into your life, you will be persecuted for my name's sake. Then all the little stuff afterwards was in little text. That was in bold. Y'all still just went, agree. Like you do with all those stupid phone agreements that you sign off on. You don't even read the top. You didn't even read Article 1. You didn't even read the heading. You're just like, click, yeah, I agree. There's a joke about that out there. It'd be like, you know, the enemy's probably, you know, putting all these little things in there and everybody's going to like get there and they'll be like, all right, well, you signed like 27 contracts over here for this app and this thing here and this thing here and all that legal stuff over there. Well, you skipped over all that. And yeah, the devil's sitting here saying, yeah, well, yeah, I got you on the hook for like these 47 times you clicked yes on this thing, right? Thank God that we aren't beholden to the law anymore. I'm just letting you know, don't be too worried or concerned if you have done that. That's legality and legalism. The enemy tries to use the law against us every time, but guess what? My God has came and he has conquered the law. Amen? So I'm no longer under that. But we are not supposed to change based on the area we are in. We are supposed to change the area we go into. We are the effectual change of this world and all of the dynamics that are in it. We are the light in the darkness. Amen? We are the salt of the earth. These are just scriptures. I'm just flinging them out there all, you know, shotgun blast. But it's the truth. Amen? But most of us consider our walk with Christ and our salvation is a personal experience, and so we live in that manner. We treat our relationship with Jesus Christ as a personal effect that is about me and my relationship, me and Jesus, me and my walk, me and what I need to do to get my life in order, me and what I need to do in order to make everything go according so I'm honorable and I am good to God. What happens if every single person who is in the kingdom of God is busy just taking care of themselves? Who is going out? No one. No one. Our walks impact ourselves and our decisions are our own. We live our lives according to the Bible and the examples Christ set to the best of our abilities, and we go to church and we attend Bible study. But my question to you guys is, how is this life that you're living affecting the kingdom? How are all of these things that you're doing affecting the kingdom if you do not put it to use? I'm not saying Bible study's bad. Bible study's good. You guys agree, right? You guys are getting tools. You guys are learning how to dig into His Word. You're learning how to hear His voice through the Scriptures. You're learning how to identify His voice. That is why you are doing it. But guess what? If you just sit there and get the knowledge, but you don't apply it to learn to hear His voice when He says, hey, I need you to go here, and you know, hey, that's God because it lines up with His Word, and you respond to that call, you are doing nothing for the kingdom. All of that knowledge does nothing. Right? What's the word say? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If you do not actually put that knowledge to use, you are just getting a bigger brain to do nothing with it. We have a tremendous problem in the church right now. The church is filled with a bunch of believers that only believe in themselves and God. And what the Lord revealed to me is this is isolationism. The enemy is trying to isolate and divide the kingdom into these cells, these just solo cells, where yeah, you're in God's kingdom. Yeah, you're in salvation, and yeah, you're good, and God's got your back, and you're okay, but you know, you just need to work on yourself, and as long as you work on yourself, everything will turn out right. Do you know what He's effectively done? He's turned the kingdom of God back into a prison where you all are back in shackles. You think you're good and you're going on to glory because I'm saved and I'm good and I'm in God's house and everything's good. But you are not going outside of the walls that are here that He has created for a safety net and a protection for God's people. But that kingdom is expanding. And we are just occupying this small little area inside of God's house. And we never leave. We never leave. Why? Well, because it's cozy and safe in God's kingdom. It's really nasty out there. I'm sorry. I forgot. Who's the one with the power of God on their shoulders? Who's the one with the armor of God? Who is the one who is the light? Who is the one who carries the sword of the Spirit? Who is the one who knows that wherever they go, their enemies fall before them because my God goes before me and fights my battles? Who is the one who is empowered by God Almighty with power from on high to take care of whatever may come across our path? That walls would crumble. We're so worried about the attacks that we're going to get hit with that we don't leave the safety of the house. When it doesn't matter where you go, because every place your foot touches is what? The kingdom. Everywhere you go is the kingdom. So why are you still isolating yourself in a cell, in a shelter? I'm not going out. It's dangerous outside. Christ has given us a life, and it is not ours. We forfeited the right to determine what is best for us when we said, it is no longer my life, it is yours. And in that regard, we now need to live for him, and to do so means to live for others. Because you are not here for yourself. You are here for others who do not know him. That is what we are here. And that's just Timothy. Philippians 1, verse 27 is our next stop. It's real easy. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Pause. Yeah, your conduct, your behavior, your mannerisms, your attitude, your words, how you behave, the things you do on a daily basis, every aspect of every day that you walk out and you say, hey, you know what? Yeah, Jesus, I love you and you're the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. That declaration then means that your conduct and everything you do with it needs to line up with that. If he is yours and you are his, then let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that you don't even have to preach salvation in Jesus Christ with your lips, because your actions and everything you do models a life that believes in the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life. You are changed. You are transformed. You are not you anymore. You are now walking out as Christ. And I'm sorry, but I don't see that anymore. I don't see that sometimes in this house. I see too many people being themselves. And they're not Jesus. You need to be Jesus when you walk out. You need to be Jesus when you do anything. In your homes. Everywhere you go. Well, the world doesn't really like it when I'm being Jesus. Tough! We don't care about what they think. It isn't about them. They don't run the show. We do. And it's about time we act like we do. Amen? So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I want to tell you guys, and this is the second problem. You think it's a solo act. And that's why you get defeated so quickly. Because you think that you got to go out and put on Jesus, and it's you and Jesus, and you and Jesus are going to take on the world. Wrong. Again, it's that isolationism again. It's putting way too much priority on how important you are in this process. If the kingdom required just you to do everything right, by golly, I'm quitting tomorrow, because I already know what the outcome is going to be. I love you, brother, but still, we can be honest. Amen? All right. And I'm guilty too. If you all were waiting for me to get it right, guess what you all be doing? Well, he gave it a good try, everybody. I don't know about you, but would anybody here want to put all of their money and all of their effort and all of their support on one person to go, we got you, you're going to carry the torch for everybody? No, right? You don't want to do it, right? Nobody here would do it. Nobody take that deal. But we do it every single day we walk out of our houses. We don't recognize that this is a team sport. We don't. And so we pick up the torch and we go, I'm going into the darkness. Whew. Uh-oh. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And you're trying to light that thing back up as quick as it went out. Because you're doing it wrong. Even in the Bible, how did Jesus send them out? Solo? Pairs. I'm not saying you got to go all legalistic and biblical follow, but I'm just trying to point out that you can't even find it's a solo effort. It's not. It's not a solo act. It's not a solo act. We have to live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Christ. Amen? And the reason why is because the world needs him. They don't need you. They don't need you. They need him. And unfortunately, we have placed way, way too much importance on ourselves. Way too much importance on ourselves. We elevate ourselves in ministry and in leadership. I already talked about this. You don't need a whole bunch of letters after your last name in order to do what I do. You don't need a whole bunch of letters in your last name to do what you do, sir. Right? I'm pointing at you, Ed, just so we're clear and everybody understands, but you are the head of security here. I don't need you to have a legal document of police records and transcriptions and all that stuff. What do you need to be able to keep everybody here safe and secure? You just need to have a heart that goes, I want to protect everybody in this house. And whatever measures we can use to do so, we will do. Pretty straightforward. Did you go to school for that? Thank God. That'd have made it worse. We make worldly advancements, and in doing so, we make money more important than the things of the kingdom. And then likewise, we also make our personal lives and our family outrank Christ's authority. What does that mean? I understand that there are people that put a lot of precedent on their family, but what you don't recognize is that family is important to God as long as God is important to your family. And it very much matters little if you put a whole lot of effort and work into your family, and at the end of the day, you have a bunch of kids who grow up to resent you, resent God, and resent any impact of God moving forward in their life. That's not a great place to be, is it? As parents. But that's not because of you. It's because of us putting too much effort and priority on our efforts to lead our family and not in God's effort to lead you and your family. See, it's actually a surrendered role. Here's where this gets really good. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And this is the entire chapter. I'm not even going to really preach anymore. I'm just going to let the Word do it. Because the Word can do it far, far better than what I can do. But this entire chapter in 1 Corinthians lays out very, very clearly what this is all about. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. What did I say? All that spending time of knowing the words, knowing what to say, having the education, having the knowledge, knowing all the scriptures, having read your Bible front to back with notes and headers and all kinds of stuff so that you know verse and Bible off the top of your head and you can pull it from memory and you can call all these things to fruition. Did that say that you needed all that? Did not. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Done. Done. What matters more to you in your professional walk with God? Are you making your professional walk with God about all this to-doism, or are you making it about knowing Christ and Him crucified? Because at the end of the day, in order to preach the gospel, guess what you need to know? You need to know Jesus and you need to know Him crucified. You need to know Him personally, and you need to know what He did on the cross, because that is the only way that we understand salvation. Amen? And you can't preach another gospel. There aren't any others. There's only one gospel. Amen? And that's it. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. So guess what that means? It doesn't matter how much of the world you know and the people in the world that you know about them, it matters about something else. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Highlight that. Highlight that. See, here's the catch. I want to point some things out real quick. Christ is not divided. Amen? Therefore, His purpose and mission in each and every one of us is the same. It might look different because how he will use you to accomplish that identical purpose and mission is different, but the purpose and the mission is universally the same for every single person here that calls on the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? You will not be able to come to pastor and say, I believe God has called me to this purpose and it's not that purpose. Because that's not God. Because God is not different between you and me. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. His mission and his purpose is the same. Today, yesterday, and forevermore. He is not confused. Amen? We might be, but he is not. So then, and this is tying into where we were just at, where is there room for the power of God to move if you are the one who is always doing everything? If you are the one who is trying to author and control what it's supposed to look like, the purpose of God and how it's supposed to manifest, how am I supposed to bring this person to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How am I supposed to bring healing forth to them? How am I supposed to pray for them? How am I supposed to speak to them? Do you hear at any point this message that it revolves around what you can do? So who's in charge then? That's an answerable question. That's not a hypothetical. Who's in charge? God. And how is he ministering his charge to us? Through whom? How is he ministering it though? How is he ministering his charge to us? Through who? Through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Robert. It is through the Holy Spirit. That spirit of power, that spirit that wants to do mighty things of God is only going to move mightily through you who believe that via the Holy Spirit, not by what I can do, but what he can do through me, he is going to accomplish his good and perfect will. Amen? And only then will we understand that this is how any of this is getting done. It is not going to be because of how much you read your Bible. It is not going to be because of how much of Scripture you know. It is not going to be because you studied really long and hard. It has nothing to do with it. But we put a lot of emphasis on whether or not we also understand what God is going to do. What do I mean? Here we go. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Here's the catch, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So how much of that is based on what you know? Nothing. Nothing. I want to tell you, how many people are blown away when God reveals something to somebody like myself or another, you know, spiritual leader who is ministering to you in a situation? You have revealed nothing to them and they speak directly to your situation as though they have known everything about you. How many have encountered that? How many encountered that? Do you think he got like a report on you before you showed up? He looked at your, he looked you up on Facebook and read your Facebook like thing on social media, so he knew what you were going through before you came up and asked for prayer. How did he find out? And do you think he's going to remember one thing about what was revealed in that moment when he was ministering to you? Nope. Because it's not for him to remember. Because it's not given to him to remember. It's given to you via the Spirit of God because it's the Spirit of God that knows what's going on in your life. It isn't me. I don't know anything. I'm going to repeat this so all of you understand. When you come up and you ask for prayer and God does something and reveals something in that moment, I know nothing. I don't know anything. And it's not like, oh, God revealed it to me and now I'm speaking in that knowledge. No! I'm not even speaking. Listen to what the Lord is saying. The framework is very, very, very different when you understand that this is not a you show. That this is not about you and it is nothing to do with you. The only requirement on you is what? That you have been saved. Right? That you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, i.e. then He is able to move in power through you and identify the Spirit that is in that individual and communicate to that individual in their spirit via the Spirit that is in me. I know nothing. And I also have to be able to endure when you don't like what has been said, that you think it was because of me, the physical person, and you outlash at me because of what was going on, when in reality, I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it takes a little thick skin to take shots that you are not responsible for. But I love those shots. Do you know why? Because at the end of the day, you know who I know is going to take care of it all? He's got it. He's got it. But we put so many restrictions on what God can do because of the limitations that we put there. We don't know enough of God's word. Therefore, how could I speak about these things? I don't understand it. Didn't know that was a requirement. Does it help? A little. But it is by far not a requirement. What do I mean? Well, I don't know. Have you ever read your Bible and understand the amount of times God used really, really the not best person on the planet to do the mighty things of God? Do you understand that's literally the entire Bible? The entire Bible is Him using the absolute not best people for the job, because if He had used the best person for the job, it's almost as though they had done it out of their own self. But God chooses the lesser things in order to make fools of the wise. It's not about the world's wisdom. It's about God's power and His might manifesting for His glory. Amen? This is what we're talking about. But the next reason that we do, the limitation that we apply, and this is the best one because I guarantee you every single one of you are victims. By victim, I mean self-proposed. You put it on yourselves. You don't have the time. Or, I don't really relate well with people. I'm not a people person. People give me the skibidis. We don't allow for Holy Spirit to do His job, or we never afford Him the time to do so. Simply because, and this is the big catch, we avoid being put into an uncomfortable position. But I'm going to finish up, because I didn't finish up 2 Corinthians 10 and finishing out. But God has revealed to them through us His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except for the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to highlight one more part out of that verse in 2 Corinthians. But the things that the Holy Spirit teaches are comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We have a big problem here now in this current world that we live in, where we try to make spiritual things worldly. And inversely, we try to make worldly spiritual. And I am caution telling you now to stop immediately at this present moment if that is going on. It is a very dangerous and wicked game you are playing. Things that are of the world are of the world. And I'm not sitting here telling you, oh, well, you know, are you telling me that I can't, you know, drive a car because that's of the world? And are you telling me I can't have things like money and a refrigerator and a dishwasher because those are worldly items? And are you telling me I can't watch a TV program because that's worldly too? What I'm trying to tell you is stop trying to make those things spiritual. They're not. They're just things that exist in the world, and they're okay. Now, I'm not telling you to go participate in wickedness. I'm not telling you to go on the internet and watch things that are evil and vile. I'm not telling you to go and participate in acts and deeds of wickedness that are in the world. It's the simplest argument in the world, right? This argument that handguns kill people. I am sorry. That is a falsehood. I've never watched once a gun pick up, stand up on its twos, walk towards somebody and go, pa-cow! And kill somebody. It's never happened. Ever. In the millions of times that handguns have been manufactured. Not one time has it happened. So what does that say? What I'm saying is the things that this world has and they're produced, it's just an object. It doesn't do anything. What we do with it can lead us to evil or wicked things, or they can do things that bring glory and honor to God. Amen? But we have to stop saying that this is a spiritual thing. No, it is not. In the same manner, you have to stop talking about the things that are in the spirit and applying them as though it's a worldly practice and a worldly system. The things in the spirit are not governed by the world's systems. And the sooner you understand this argument, the sooner you will really get and grasp the mission from God that God has called you to. You have been assigned to an impossible task and an impossible mission that only He can do. I know, it sounds like Mission Impossible, right? But you have been assigned to an impossible task with an impossible mission that you can't do. You can't do it. But thanks be to God who can do it through you. But as long as you understand that, everything that happens... And this is so silly, and it's so simple too. But do you understand that there are countless miracles in your fingertip? What are you prophesying, Pastor? It is the potential of God using you. There's so much potential in just your fingertip to watch God do the impossible before you. If only, not just you believe. Because it is not about how much I believe God can do. That doesn't matter a hill of beans. You know what matters? I'm not here for my mission and purpose. This isn't about what I want to do, God. You want to use my finger to do whatever? Even if you want to detach it from my body, do it. Do it. Do it, God. So much of the kingdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is revealed to us who believe and understand that it is through that access, through Christ, that we are given the opportunity to serve Him mightily and serve this kingdom that we are a part of. Amen? The inner workings of spiritual realities and the battle being waged for the souls of those that are in darkness. This is what we are here for. But if we only look to what is felt or what is natural, we will miss every single season and every opportunity. I want to tell you, at this point in today, if you are telling me about how you feel in the kingdom, I'm going to tell you, you're looking at the wrong aspect. Everything that pertains to the kingdom has absolutely nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with how you feel. So what does that mean? I feel like the Lord is... That's a bad ship. That is a very bad ship. Either the Lord is, or the Lord is not. Your feelings mean very little in that decision. When you feel, guess what that means? You're trying to manifest it. You're trying to put it together. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to understand. You're trying to know more about. It has nothing to do with what you feel. It has nothing to do with what you feel. I know it's tough. I understand this stance is very, very, very high end and calling you out of a spectrum that maybe you're not comfortable with. But what I'm trying to tell you is it's about high time God's people got uncomfortable or got comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's about high time we understand that it isn't about us. It is not about us. We sung this song, right? We sung this song today. We ended our worship service with this song that was literally declaring how it is not about me. It's not my life. It is not mine. I don't have it anymore. I gave it up. We will miss these opportunities if we focus on these natural feelings or these natural approaches. Because, and this is what we do, we choose to walk in a way that promotes godliness through our effort. What we can do to show God how much we want to bring him honor and how much we want to bring him glory, how much our efforts are put in, how much work we're putting in, how much time I'm investing, how much I'm doing to bring you all this glory. God, I want you to be proud of me. And I'm going to point this out. This is a complex that bothers men more than women. It is. It is 100% a daddy complex. We might not have felt like we ever earned our father's admiration for whatever reason. And so we have a new daddy and we want to make him proud. And we really want to do right. We want to do all these great and wonderful things for him because he does so many great and wonderful things for us. And we feel like it's a tit for tat arrangement that we have to do this. But what it really is about, it is actually letting God do the impossible through you in spite of how imperfect you are. And it doesn't matter how much of it you understand. It doesn't matter how much of it you know. It doesn't matter. I want you to really go here this week with God. In your time with the Lord, in your prayers, in your encounter, whatever way you want to do it. If you want to come up now and you want to just have me pray this over you, I will pray this over you. But either way, whatever your marching orders are, and however you want to engage with God in this matter, I want to encourage you to do this sometime this week. Do this. Ask God to use you in a way that you cannot understand, you cannot comprehend, you don't need to know anything about it, but you just want God to do something incredible through you. And you are going to surrender every aspect of what you think, feel, imagine, could believe, want to believe, whatever it looks like, whatever you think is capable, the little shell that you want to put God in, shatter it. And I want you to see what God's going to do. How many are up for that challenge? How many up are going to step up and accept that challenge? It's not a challenge for one day. It's a challenge for the rest of your life. But understand, this is what we are supposed to be doing, church. This is actually where we're heading. And if we said and we agree that God is going to be moving us out and we are going to go take ground, we are going to advance his kingdom, this is how it happens. It happens because we believe God wants to use me, yes, you, to do the impossible. He wants to use you to do the impossible. And it has very little to do with what you can do, has very little to do with what you understand, and has nothing to do with your capabilities. Your gifts and talents mean nothing in this aspect. They don't matter. Your gifts and talents bless God Your gifts and talents are gifts that God gives to bless Him and bless others. That is what it's for. It is not about our servants' marching orders to go and accomplish His perfect will. That's not what they're for. What I'm doing right here, right now, that is not going out there and winning the lost. I recognize this. But I also understand that my job here and what I'm supposed to do is to get you guys equipped and ready to hear what God is doing and go. So, with that, I encourage you. Make that declaration this week. Whether it's now, whether it's whenever you need time, if you need time to put your heart at ease and understand that what you agreed to when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior is it's no longer about you and it's about Him. If you gotta make that agreement again, you gotta bring yourself to that place, I understand. But what I don't want you to do is continue to run this gamut and this cycle in this belief system that you and God are gonna go take on the world. And I just gotta get myself cleaned up. I just gotta really work hard to fix all these issues in my life because man, I am just messed up. Yeah, you are. But God still wants to use you in spite of how messed up you are. And it has very little to do with how messed up you are. It has to do with the people who are crying out for God and that encounter. Amen? And those appointments will happen because He sets them. Those meetings will occur because you're in step with Him and you said, God, it's what you want to do. It's not about me anymore. But if that's you and you're there now, the altar's here, I will pray with you. If you need that time to set apart, fine. But please, please, make that agreement this week. I want to hear what God's doing, and I want to see God advancing His kingdom through us here. I don't want to wait for the mega church to get it right. I don't want to wait for the church down the road to get it right. If we know God's speaking, let's move. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, You are so good. And Your purpose and Your walk with us, Holy Spirit, as You are just giving us that gentle nudge and that sweet reminder and that encouragement that we need, I pray we would recognize Your hand and Your input in our life to just lay down whatever we think, whatever we feel, whatever we believe it's supposed to be like. And we would adhere to what You are saying. We would be in response and we would move in the things of the Spirit and we would let You have that full dominion by surrendering ourselves. Father, have Your perfect will in our lives. I pray Your people would hear Your voice and that they would receive Your gentle and Your sweet and kind Spirit. And that they would lay down their lives because there is something so much greater than ourselves that is happening and You are moving at a pace like never before. Let us not fall behind in step, but let us be in step with You in Your Spirit. And let us agree with You, God, in what You are doing. Jesus, have Your perfect way. May Your gospel be preached and may Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.